So turn to your Bibles to Proverbs 3:5. We honor our apostle and Pastor Don today. Can we give them a great big God bless you? Do we love them? Man, I love them so much. I was 17 years old when they came here and been on this journey with them for the past 27 years. And let me tell you, they're the real deal. They love you so much. They love you with all their heart. Our whole staff, we love you so much. Listen, they have a genuine desire to lead people to know Christ, to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, come on, and to make disciples, amen. That's why we're here today. So can we give it up for them one more time? We thank God for the sacrifice and all that they've done over all these years. We love them so much today. Man, how many of you enjoyed that message by Pastor Jeremy last Sunday? Wasn't that awesome? God is so good. And today we're going to continue our generosity series. And Apostle's going to pick it up and just take it to a whole nother level next Sunday. Amen. I'm going to preach my all-time favorite scripture since I was a little girl. I don't know why I picked it. I have no idea. But if you would have asked me when I was a little girl, ever since then, what's your favorite scripture? I'd say Proverbs 3:5. Because I just believe if you trust in the Lord, that he'll direct your path, right? And I kind of carried it in my pocket. And last time I had the privilege to stand before you and preach, it's been a little minute, but the Lord had given me a message about staying rooted and planted in the house of the Lord. And it was so beautiful. And we sang, rains came, winds blew, and my house was built on you. And it was just amazing, reminding us, well, man, you just don't know when you preach what's going to happen, right? 2 weeks later to the day, my father suddenly passed away at 63. My precious mother, man, it just turned her world upside down. She's now in memory care, and I love her so much. In addition to countless other circumstances that have shook our family, if I only had time to tell you all of it. But I could take time to tell you all that, but it would never outweigh the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Come on, the winds came and the rains blew. Come on, they still blow sometimes. Come on, we have sunshine and rain, but as we saw today, it makes a beautiful rainbow. It's in those seasons that we see God's faithfulness, his promises. It's in those moments. Man, I had a baby since last time I preached. Could you imagine? Listen, I never thought I'd be pushing a wheelchair and a stroller at age 44 at the same time. But you know what? I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm trusting in the Lord today. And he's been so good. And he's been so faithful. And I just got to tell you, it's a miracle that I can stand before you today. Because there were many times that it took everything I could just to walk into the room. It took everything I could. And I would lay right over there on that back row. And I would weep and I would cry out to the Lord in my distress. But I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered me. And he is faithful today. And many of you are left in a season today that you are simply trusting in God. Is anybody trusting in him today? But I want to tell you that he's faithful. I want to tell you that he's good. I'm going to tell you that there's another side, that the light will shine again. And it was like for me that this scripture that I had held on to since I was a child, it came alive to me in this season. It was like it was in my pocket just to pull it out at the right time. And I began to see it in a way that I never seen before. It was this that God had given it then for now. Come on, he said, just trust in me. Come on, y'all ready to read it today? In Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I told you he's saying something today. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Anybody want plenty in this room? And your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Come on, who's going to trust in the Lord with all your heart today? Lift up your hands all over this room. Come on, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you that you're in this place. We thank you that you're weaving it all together. Father God, that we're not going to leave here the same way that we came. We trust in you, God, that you're going to change us because your word is powerful. Your presence is powerful. So God, we came today not just to check off the box, but we came today to encounter you. So God, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your word in power, that you would break yokes and lift burdens. And I pray that you would anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of your word, and that it would change our lives and that you'll get all the glory. In Jesus' name, can you shout amen? And give God one more praise today before you're seated. God desires for us to trust in him with everything. Come on, not just in the good times when it's easy, not just in the difficult times when we want to go find him when we need him, but with every part of our lives. And as we focus today on generosity, he's calling us to put our trust in him with all that he's provided for us. God is releasing a spirit of generosity over this house because he wants to use us in these last days. He wants to use us to care for the orphans and the widows. Come on, he wants to use us to feed the poor. He wants to use us to bear one another's burdens and take care of each other's needs. Come on, that sounds like the New Testament church to me. How about you? Come on, he wants to use us to advance the gospel in our community and around the world, but it's going to take generosity. And I'm blessed to stand before you today to talk about generosity. It is so important to my family. Come on, we believe and we participate in giving our tithes and giving to missions regularly, giving to the Dream Center, giving to building funds, special projects. Come on, we believe in all of it because God is good to give us those opportunities. And so today I want to talk to you about the heart of generosity. Come on, they've already been singing about it. We're just going to preach about it. Y'all ready? The heart of generosity today. The first thing that we see when we talk about the heart of generosity, we have to first look at the foundation of generosity. If you look up studies on relationships, you will find over and over again that trust is named as the foundation of any healthy relationship. It begins with trust. If you look up the word trust in the dictionary, it means a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of someone or something. If you look it up in our text, it means to be confident or sure, to be bold and careless, and to put your confidence and your hope in. Anybody trusting in the Lord today? The foundation of our relationship with God is putting all of our trust in him. Come on, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The question that I put before you today is, do you trust him? Do I trust him? I mean, do I really, really trust the Lord? Does anybody have a firm belief in his reliability? Come on, do you have a firm trust in his truth and his strength? Come on, do you believe? Are you confident in him today? Come on, I could stand here today and I could expound upon God's word line by line and give you verse after verse about the goodness and faithfulness of God and his plan and provision for your life. But if there's an absence of trust, come on, it's the foundation. If there's an absence of trust, it will fall on deaf ears. You can hear all that you want to hear, but if you don't have the foundation of trust, it will literally fall flat. I remember a time when I sincerely tried to do everything I could to help someone that I loved dearly, and they were so bound by fear and worry in their mind that it would not allow them to believe that I was on their side. They couldn't receive the good things that I had for them because their mind had told them something contrary. And there are those of you in this room today that the enemy has been lying to you. Come on, he's been trying to keep you from trusting God because he knows that once you take that step, it will access a whole new realm of peace, of joy, of favor in your life. If you don't believe someone is for you or with you, it doesn't matter what they do for you. It will always be questioned and doubted when there's fear and a lack of trust, and you'll never be able to fully receive or walk in the blessing they have for you. See, trust requires vulnerability. Come on, it requires taking a leap of faith. I remember when I was a little girl and we would play in the backyard, and we didn't have a big backyard, so sometimes the Frisbee would land on the roof. So my dad would hoist me up there on the roof, and I thought that was so cool, and I would toss that Frisbee down. But there came a moment when I was looking down, and he held out his arms, and he wanted me to jump. And in that moment, I had to choose to trust. I had to be vulnerable, right? But I had confidence that if I jumped, my dad was going to catch me. But there was that moment of processing. Okay, am I going to go for this? Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck on the roof the rest of my life. So I'm going to take the leap. But it requires a level of vulnerability in our lives. Come on. Something beyond what we can put on paper. Something beyond what we can just completely understand. We have to be vulnerable to the Lord. And trust is not something just vulnerable, but we have to make a choice to trust. Trust is a choice. Like any relationship, I'm going to choose to trust. We have to make up our mind and make a decision to trust in the Lord. Choosing to trust God breaks off fear. It breaks off insecurity. It breaks off self-sufficiency off your life. We can't choose to trust God some of the time, right? We can't trust God only when we like the outcome. Things are going good. I trust you, Lord, right? You got this. Come on, we can't trust God when we only see what we want to see. Come on, we can't trust God when he only does what we want him to do, because that's not trust. That's manipulation and control. And God cannot be manipulated nor controlled. He just wants to be trusted. God wants us to trust him, trust his plan, trust him in the blessings, and trust him in the pain. In any relationship, before there's trust, there's a test. Come on, before there's trust, there's a test. That word test means to investigate, to examine, to try, or to prove. You don't just walk up to somebody you meet and instantly you say, I'm gonna just put all my trust in them. Come on, you do your research. Come on, you get references. Come on, you weigh them out. They gotta kind of prove it a little bit, right? Do they say they're gonna do what they say they're gonna do? Come on, do they put their money where their mouth is? Come on, are they kind? Are they the kind of person that I want to be around? You kind of have to let them prove it for a little bit, right? And there's some of you in this room that have been undecided about fully trusting in God. But I want to tell you today that you can do your research. Come on, look in your Bible. Come on, research it in your Bible, and you'll find countless many that have found him to be trustworthy. Come on, just research and look up Abraham. The Bible said he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Just look up Job, who had everything and then he lost everything. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Come on, he didn't say that in the blessed season. He said it in the painful season. In the moment, he didn't even know if his very life was going to make it. But he said, yet will I trust in him. And God turned it all around for Job because he was faithful to trust the Lord, even in his pain. Just take a minute and research and look up King David, who in his old age declared, I was young, but now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their sin begging for bread. He said, God is trustworthy. I'm glad I trusted him when I was young, because he's proven faithful now that I'm old. Oh, just go to the New Testament. Ask Jairus when his daughter was dead, but Jesus came and raised her back. Come on, look at the centurion who had such great trust in God. He said, you don't even have to go. You don't even have to go heal my servant. Just speak the word and it shall be done. And it was done. Look at the New Testament church. They gave everything that they had to God. They sold their properties. They gave their time. They trusted in God through persecution, and God made a way. And we are sitting in this room today because they trusted God and they handed it down from generation to generation. Do your research. But if that's not enough for you, if just the research isn't enough for you, which it should be because it's God's word, but then I want to ask you, I want you to look up some references. Is there any references in this room today? Is there anybody who can be a reference and testify of the faithfulness of God? Is there anybody that can shout and be a reference that he's a way maker, that he's a healer? Come on, anybody that can testify God is trustworthy in the house today, can one generation declare it to the next generation that I have never seen a righteous forsaken? If you need a reference, just look around you today. I've been serving God since I was 5 years old, and he's been way more faithful to me than I've been to him. Come on, he's been more trustworthy than I have been, but he's been faithful when I was good and faithful when I wasn't. Come on, when I was ashamed of myself, he was still trustworthy. When I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't have a way to make, but God has been trustworthy. If you need a reference, I'll testify every single time that God is faithful. Can we take it a little bit farther? Maybe that's just still not doing it for you. You say, Pastor Jen, I mean, I really want to go all in, but I got to know. Come on, I got to know. That's okay. We're going to take it just a little bit farther. If you're not still convinced that you can put your trust in God, go to Romans 8:31. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, that's not even a good part. He who did not spare his own son. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Come on, Jesus left heaven. He came to earth. He was our sacrifice. He literally gave his life. He bore our pain, our guilt, our shame, our punishment. He did not even spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Think about this. He laid down his life. He gave his son. What more could he give? I can trust the one that gave me everything. He spared nothing. There was no greater way to prove his love and his faithfulness to us. He sacrificed and gave his only son. We can trust in the one that has literally withheld nothing from us. And he didn't stop there, because it said if he did that, he will graciously give us all things. Come on, give means to grant as a favor. Come on, it means gratuitously and kindness, to pardon or rescue, to deliver, to forgive, to grant. It's a favor. Come on, he did everything he came to do. Everything else is just a bonus. Come on, everything else is just because he loves us. He literally gave it all for us. What more could he give? If you need the proof, it's right there. There are so many verses on trusting in the Lord. The Bible is full of them. But one says in Psalm 84:12, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord God Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, his way, not our way, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Man, I remember a time I was just new to being a pastor on staff here. This was years ago. It was about 22 years ago. And the Lord, I was in my Paul season of my life. You know what I'm talking about? I was enjoying being single. And I said, Lord, if this is what you have for me the rest of my life, let it be. And of course, that's just like God, that he's going to be like, oh, well, now is the time to bring someone in your life. You know what I'm saying? When you're like, no, I'm good, you know. When you ask for it, he's like, no, you got to wait. And then you're like, God, I'm good. And he's like, oh, here. And so my husband came into my life. And, you know, I was like, I was good. So I listed all the reasons why I was good and I didn't need to. You know, he liked me, and I was like, no, I'm good. Thank you, God. And I listed all the reasons, but the Lord just began to reveal to me all the good things about him, like why he had chosen for me, right? And I was like, yeah, but, you know, God, I don't know. Like, you know, if I'm going all in, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not just going to date around. Like, I'm just going to go for it, right? I want it to be the one you have. I don't want to play around. And so I'm like, if this is forever, like, forever's a long time. If I'm making a commitment here, like, you know, I have no problem with people getting tattoos. I will never get a tattoo because I can't take it off. Like, I have a commitment problem, I guess. I don't know. But I was like, Lord, I was wrestling with the Lord. I remember talking to Miss Debbie about it. I remember she helped me out. Thank you, Jesus. My husband should thank you, Miss Debbie, because she helped me through that time. But I remember being in a service and I was wrestling with the Lord. Right? You ever been there? Anybody? Maybe you're here today. I think that's why we're here. And I was sitting in the old sanctuary. I can remember right where I was sitting. And there was a guest speaker. I don't remember what else he said, but he was like, there's someone in the room today and you're having trouble trusting God about something. And I was like, oh man. He's like, I want you to stand up right now and surrender that to the Lord. And I was like, I can't stand up. I'm a pastor. I can't let people know I have trust problems. Come on. But it was just like this wrestling. The Lord is like, this is your opportunity. Are you really gonna trust me? Come on. And so I remember I stood up and I just lifted my hands. I said, I trust you, God, right? Well, we just had our 20th anniversary and God is good. God is faithful. Our 20th wedding anniversary. And I just gotta tell you, God is trustworthy, right? Come on, he saw 10 years down the road. He saw all the things that I hadn't been yet proven to me. I wanted him to prove everything, but God saw it before I saw it. But my decision and my choice was to trust in the Lord and to give it all over to him. And there's some of you in this room today, maybe you have that same wrestling. Maybe it's about giving. Maybe it's about something else, but you're saying, Lord, I don't know, but I believe before this day is over that you're gonna surrender that over to the Lord and you're gonna find yourself walking in a place that he has prepared for you of his blessing and his goodness. If you believe it, shout amen today. So today we're talking about generosity. But I wanted to lay that foundation of trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Because if I can trust him with my salvation, if I can trust him with my whole life, with my family, my children, with my relationships, surely I can trust him with all the resources that he's provided for me. And the Bible says in Malachi 3:10, remember we're talking about testing to trusting. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. He said, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So there's other times in the Bible where God says, don't test me. Come on. But it's more like your mama saying, don't try me. Come on, it's a different kind. But in this verse, he's saying, go ahead, not test me because you doubt me, but test me by giving me an opportunity to show you how faithful and good I am. He said, go ahead, test it out. That's okay. And there are many in the bride of Christ, come on, in the bride of Christ, that we want to be married to Christ. We want to be all into Christ, but we want him to sign a prenuptial agreement. I'm gonna give you all of me, Jesus, but can you sign right here? I wanna keep my stuff. Come on, I'm gonna keep my finances to myself. I got that under control, Jesus. Come on. That was from the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying, sells for somebody. But Jesus wants all of it. He said, I'm all in. I gave you everything, even my son. There was nothing I wouldn't give you. He said, just give it over to me. It's way better in my hands anyways. Anybody know that it's way better in his hands? It's like the story of the rich young ruler, and he came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, the ruler said, I followed all the commandments. I've done all of it. And Jesus said, go sell everything you have and come follow me. And the Bible says he left disappointed. Because he wasn't willing to give that part over to Jesus. And he missed out of his opportunity of a lifetime. God is looking for those in the room today who are all in. Okay, there's a few of you that are all in. I hear you. All in. We can't say that our lives belong to God and then go do it our own way. So really, when you're testing God with your finances and giving, you are really testing yourself. You thought you were testing him, but he's testing you. Come on, he's saying, can God trust you to be faithful? Come on, it's time to open some spiritual trust funds today. Come on, who's opening some trust funds today? You can trust in the Lord, Jehovah, the existing one. Come on, he always has been, and he always will be. So if I'm going to trust someone, I'm going to trust the one who's been around the block a few times. I'm going to trust the one that already sees where I'm going, who's already been where I've been. There's nothing he hasn't seen, nothing that surprises him, nothing he can't handle. I'm going to trust in Jesus. The foundation of trust and foundation of generosity is trusting in the Lord. All right, that's the foundation. We got the foundation laid? Now let's talk about the heart of generosity. Our main passage says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all, the whole of, the totality, with everything in your heart. The heart is the inner man, your mind, your will. Oh, come on, we got some strong-willed people. We got to lay down our will. Come on, we got to trust him with our heart and our understanding. How do I know if God has my heart? What do you think about? What are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? Where does your time go? Where do your finances go? Because the Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust, they do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. People go back and forth about whether giving is the law or what is it, Old Testament, all those things. But at the end of the day, what God wants most is not your $50. What he really wants is your heart. He wants our hearts. And because I love him, I walk in obedience to what he asks. Because I love him, I'm compelled to even give beyond that. Not just my tithes, but my offering. I have a compelling in my heart to give because I love him. And everything I have is him because it's a matter of the heart. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Come on, search your heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Any cheerful givers in the house today? And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. What it says, what you have decided in your heart to give, it's a matter of the heart. Come on, this is a relationship, right? It's a heart matter. I don't want people I'm in relationship to feel forced or pressured to give to me, but it sure is a blessing when they choose to do it. Amen? It says that God loves a cheerful giver. Man, if you want to know what God loves, come on, you say, God, I want to show you my love back to you. The Bible makes it so clear. This is what God loves. Come on, he loves our worship. He loves it when we talk to him, when we pray. And God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful is hilaros. Come on, it's like the word hilarious. That's where we get our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. That means prompt or willing or cheerful. We got any hilarious, cheerful givers in the house today? Come on, someone in this room is getting your joy back as you give. Come on, you're just going to let go of that gift and joy is coming on your life. Come on, people are going to ask you this week, why are you so happy? It's because I gave an offering this week. I gave it to God because God's my source, because I love him so much, because he's been faithful. We got any cheerful givers in the house today? Come on, it gives me joy to know that I'm helping missionaries spread the gospel all over the world. It gives me joy to know that I'm helping, help provide transportation for our VIPs on the bus ministry today, that they have a hot meal. That gives me joy to know that my children are over there hearing the gospel. They're hearing a message about generosity too, that my children are being raised in the Lord. It gives me joy. I'm cheerfully giving because I know that when I give to God, he can do so much more than I can do with it. But God loves a cheerful giver, and he says that those who give cheerfully will have all sufficiency in all things. That means you'll have contentment, satisfaction with what you have. See, we think it's going to mean that we're all going to be mega millionaires. I mean, if God wants to do it, say, do it right here, Jesus. But it says that you have contentment and satisfaction with what one has. That is a way more powerful thing, because riches can come and go, but contentment can last through any season. Come on, satisfaction with what you have can last through any moment in any season. That's real joy. Come on, it says a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Come on, let's just take our bank account off life support. Are you guys ready to do that? And it says, and you will abound, that you will exceed or increase in every good work. Come on, it says, in business, employment, that which one is occupied, that which one undertakes to do, an enterprise or undertaking, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind, any act, deed, or anything done, come on, you will abound in every good work. Does anybody receive that today? Giving is good for your heart. Come on, you just thought Cheerios were good for your heart. But let me tell you, giving is good for your heart. And we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. Amen. Anybody giving your heart over to the Lord today? The third thing that we want to look at today is not just the foundation of generosity, not just the heart of generosity, but the surrender of generosity. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Come on, this is a tough one for me. Come on, it says lean, stay, rely, rest, lieth, trust in, support oneself. That's the definition of lean not. It said don't trust in or support yourself on your own understanding. And there will be many times in your journey and your walk with God that you find yourself in situations that are beyond your understanding. See, I'm the kind of person that I've always been able to trust him if I can make sense out of it. Even in a difficult season, I say, I don't like it, but I see how God's doing this, this, and this, right? I don't understand, but I see how God's doing this and this. But there are some times in our lives that it just don't make no sense. God, I don't see how you're working. I don't see what you're doing. Come on, maybe I'm the only one. Preach, Pastor Jen. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever been in. I don't see the good yet. I don't know. I don't, my understanding can't make sense of this. There are times that I can't see what he's doing. But these are the moments when we must surrender our need to understand. Lean not on your own understanding. I have to surrender my need. God, I don't understand, but I surrender my understanding to you. I surrender it over to you, Lord. Because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that's why this walk with him requires faith and trust, because we have to know that God sees beyond what we can see, that he's working all things together for our good, even when we don't see the good just yet. God has an understanding so far beyond what we can comprehend. And so in this text, we are reminded to lean not on our limited and our finite understanding. It says lean not. Leaning, come on, I think of that old V8 commercial. Y'all remember that? I don't know, when people walked around like this. Leaning speaks of shifting your weight. Come on, I'm leaning this way. The weight's on this foot. if I'm leaning this way, my weight's on this foot. Come on, it speaks of shifting the weight. And this was so powerful, what Pastor Courtney and what they were singing, Pastor John, because it was just this message right here. Because when you lean not on your own understanding and you lean on God, you're shifting the weight from you over to him. Woo! Lean not on your own understanding. Some of you have been carrying the weight. Come on, when you lean on your own understanding, you're putting all the weight on yourself. Well, when you trust in the Lord, you're putting the weight on him, and he is well able to carry it. Come on, some of you have been trying to figure things out in your own strength. You've been trying to do the math. You've been trying to make sense of it. You've been trying to write the story. You're trying to lean on your own understanding. You can't sleep at night. You've been carrying burdens. You've been carrying weights. You've been trying to say, well, if this will just happen and that breakthrough and this is how it all come to pass. But Jesus said, lean not on your own understanding. He said, put it on me. I can handle it. God wants us to put it in his hands. Man, I think about this. We bought our first house in 2006, I believe it was. And if any of you know what happened in 2006, our house, our little two-bedroom house was very expensive. And within 2 years of us buying that house, it was worth half what we paid for it. That's not what you want to happen. That's not why you buy a house. The housing market crashed. Our house was worth half. We had only planned to stay there just a little time to build equity and sell it to get something bigger, but it was so expensive at that time, we were just trying to get our foot in the door. Well, it crashed. Our house, we were upside down. Anybody ever been upside down? Come on. And we're like, man, this is impossible. Our family was growing. We were now having our second child. We were hoping to have a bigger house. And we were like, God, what are we gonna do? And we said, well, we're gonna put it in his hands. Come on, when you don't know, when it's bigger than you, you can try to save all the money you want, and saving is good. Go to EJ's class and Pastor Anderson, they'll teach you all about it, right? Saving is good, but sometimes it's just so much bigger than that. So we're gonna save, but we're gonna give like we've never given before. And we were in the building project, we were in the building capital campaign for this building right here. And so we decided in our hearts that we were going to give sacrificially. And we wrote on our offering, putting God's house first so that our house will be blessed. And we said, Lord, you know the desires of our heart. You know that it is impossible. It literally was impossible in that moment, in that season, for us to ever be out of that house for probably the next 20 years. It's just now back to, you know, making money. Finally, thank you, Jesus. But we put God first. And you know what? It didn't happen the first year. It didn't happen the second year. But just in time, God came through on our behalf. Things began to shift. Things began to move. That entire time, we made our payment. We didn't stress over it. Come on, God provided everything we need. Now I'm living in a house that's three times the size of that house. It's my dream house, if I could tell you the whole story. Come on, but we trusted God and we shifted the weight off of us and onto him. And there's some of you here today, you're trying to figure it out. You say, God, how's it gonna happen? It's bigger than me. He said, just put it on me. Come on, just shift the weight over to me because he's got it. He's gonna provide, he's gonna make a way. And if you trust God with your giving, there will be times when you don't even understand how the bills got paid, but they got paid. Come on, there'll be times when you can't understand because it just doesn't add up. But I don't have to understand it. I just gotta trust. Come on, I just have to surrender my need to understand because the burden's not on me. The burden's not on him. That moment that you write your offering and you put it in that bucket, you say, all right, it's off of me. It's on you, Jesus. You got it. Come on, I'm activating your word. I'm activating your promises. And I know that you're gonna come through every time. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Whoa, hallelujah. My whole page just jumped for joy right here. It said, ooh, it's so good. The screen went blank. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There was a little boy in the New Testament. He had five loaves of bread and two fish. There was 5,000 plus people who are hungry and needed a lunch. And they said, how? We don't understand how you're going to feed all these people, Jesus. This crowd, this need is way bigger than the provision that's in our hands. But the little boy didn't try to understand. He didn't try to figure it out. What did he do? He shifted it from his hands into Jesus' hands. There was a greater need that what could be provided in the natural, it wasn't enough. But when the weight transferred from the boy's hands to Jesus' hands, it became more than enough. Come on, they fed all the people and they had 12 basketfuls left over. Come on, who's ready for some leftovers? It was beyond understanding. But what was the difference? It was the same bread and fish in the boy's hands as it was in Jesus' hands. What was the difference? Just whose hands it was in. The only difference was who was carrying the weight. Take your burdens and put them in Jesus' hands today. God wants to do some big things in your life that are beyond your understanding. Do you believe that today? He's just waiting for you to stop trying to figure it out, stop trying to understand, for you to shift the weight and to hand it over and put it in his hands. So I don't know, maybe that's you right now. Just lift up your hands and give it to God, whatever that thing is. I don't know, maybe it's a son or daughter. Maybe it's a financial situation. Whatever it is, say, God, I give it to you right now. Come on, I'm transferring. Come on, there are literally weights being lifted. Come on, there are literally, the anointing is here and the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing lifts the burden. So in the name of Jesus, the anointing fall on you right now. Come on, it's reaching all the way to the back. Come on, it's reaching somebody online today. There's an anointing. There's an anointing in this house that is breaking yokes and lifting burdens. And you're gonna walk out of here free in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you receive it, give God a praise. Verse 5 says, lean not unto your own understanding. Lord, I surrender my need to understand. And that word understanding means knowledge or meaning. Don't surrender to your own knowledge or meaning. Let me give you some context to this scripture verse here. The author of Proverbs is King Solomon. Y'all remember him from last Sunday? Pastor Jeremy preached about him. King Solomon was considered the wisest man who ever lived. The wisest. I mean, he had understanding beyond understanding. He had knowledge beyond knowledge. He could make decisions that, man, we would have just like been blown away by. He had an understanding and a depth like no one else. That was the gift that God gave him. But yet, King Solomon penned these words, lean not unto your own understanding. He was considered the wisest man who ever lived, yet he declares, lean not unto your own understanding. He even knew that we got to give it to the expert. He even knew that even my great knowledge is far surpassed by the knowledge and understanding of my Lord. This verse goes on to say, in all thy ways, that means in your journey or your course of life. Come on, no matter what stage your life you're in, young person, don't wait to trust him. Come on, trust him with that minimum wage. Trust him with that birthday money if that's all you got. Come on, trust him with whatever he's put in your hands right now. Don't wait to trust him. It says, in all thy ways, wherever you are in this journey of your life. Maybe you're older and you've never really fully trusted God. It's not too late to trust him in all your ways. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Come on. It means to recognize and acknowledge that he is the source. And he shall direct your paths. Come on. It means that he will make right, pleasant, and prosperous. He will make your path right, pleasant, and prosperous. God will direct your path. Yeah, you can give him a praise for that. Solomon goes on to say, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That navel is your nerve. Come on. Somebody, something's been getting on your nerves, but you're about to get health back to your nerves, health to your muscle. It means refreshment. Come on, health to your nerves. Navel means the center of your strength. You're going to get that deep strength back. Come on. It means the marrow means drink and refreshing. Some of you are about to walk into a season of refreshing. It means your bones, your entire body is about to walk into a place of renewal and strength. See, we think that giving puts a burden on us, but really what it does, it refreshes us and it strengthens us and renews us in the Lord. And the last thing that we looked at today is open-handed generosity. Our main text finishes with verse 7 through 12. And I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like possibly Solomon, in all his wisdom, purposely laid the foundation of trusting and leaning on the Lord and surrendering our understanding so that our hearts would be prepared for the verses to follow. It was a preface to what was coming next. He said, make sure you trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Come on. It will be good for your bones, for your marrow. Come on, be refreshing to your soul. He was getting us ready for the next thing. He says in verse 7, honor the Lord, Jehovah, with thy substance, with your wealth, your riches, your substance, whatever you have. And honor him with the first fruits. That means the first, the beginning. Give him the best, the chief, the choicest part. He's saying give God the best, not the leftovers. He said, honor the Lord. If you trust him with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, you'll be able to honor the Lord with your substance and with your first fruit of all your increase, all of it, your income, your produce, your fruit, your gain, your increase or your revenue is what that means there. And here's what will happen. So shall your barns and your storehouses be filled with plenty. Come on, a more than adequate supply, abundance, plenteous, filled to satisfaction, have enough, come on, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Come on, who wants the new wine? Who wants the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Come on, it's not just monetary blessings. Come on, it's just not financial blessings. God wants to pour out contentment. God wants to pour out peace. He wants to pour out his goodness. He wants to pour the new wine over your life today. And like Pastor Jeremy said, giving is a key for us to walk in that place in the Lord. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be weary of his correction. If this message is correction for you today, I just want you to know the Lord love for those he loves, he corrects. Even as the Father, the Son in whom he delights, he doesn't want to see you walk in anything less than his goodness and his grace and his favor over your life. Pastor Jeremy talked about King Solomon last week, how he blessed the Queen of Sheba so much that it took her breath away. He had barns. He had storehouses that were overflowing. He had all of these things, but yet he knew that he wasn't his source. He trusted in God and honored God with the very best and the first of all he had. And today, I invite us to do the same. This is the verse that I've been carrying in my heart my whole life. And I hope that it has come alive to you like it has come alive to me. In every season, Lord, we trust you with all of our heart. We surrender our understanding. Lord, we lean not on our own understanding. We shift the weight. God, we don't understand. We don't know everything, but we surrender our understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge you, Lord, that you will direct our path. And God, we honor you. We honor you with our substance. We honor you with our first. We honor you with our increase. We honor you with everything that we have. God, we give you our kids. God, we give you our businesses. God, we give you our houses. God, we give you the dreams and the desires in our hearts. We give it all to you. We honor you, Father God, because we know that you're a faithful God and you make a way every time. I want to do a simple illustration today. If Shelly will come out here. It's her birthday, y'all, by the way. Can y'all just say happy birthday? We love her so much. God wants us to have open-handed generosity in our lives. He wants us to live with our hands open so that he can pour out his goodness, his favor, his blessings, his joy. He has so much. He loves you. He has so much good things for you. But what happens sometimes in our lives is we kind of get worried. We let the cares of this world come. We let the burdens, we see the bills, and we get tight-fisted. Come on, get tight-fisted. What happens? The tighter she begins to hold on to it, the more falls out of her hands. The tighter she holds on, the less she's able to hold on to. She misses out on the good things. The tighter she holds on, come on, she misses out. And not only does she lose some of the things that she has, but God wants to bless her with more, and she can't even receive it. It just falls right off. Because as long as you hold on to what you have, you can never receive the fullness of what God has for you. And so he doesn't want us to live tight-fisted. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to be bound and held back, because he has so much that he wants to pour out on you. God wants you to live open-handedly. Come on, when you open up your hands, come on, put those hands together, cup them together really good. He's gonna pour out a blessing. Look at all that you're able to contain, all that you're able to hold. And he said, I got so much for you, you don't even have room to contain it. It's an overflow blessing. It's enough for your children, enough for your neighbors, enough for your friends. You trust in me, you keep your hands open, you can give it away. You can help the poor. You can feed the hungry. Come on, your storehouses will be running over when you live open-handedly. God says, open your hand. Reach out your hand and trust me. You don't have to stay there, but can you give her a hand? Thank you, Michelle. Can you stand all over the room today? I know that was a simple illustration. But what has God put in your hands? Are you holding on to it? Or are you saying, Lord, I trust you. God, it's yours. I'm gonna live open-handedly so I can freely give and I can freely receive, so that I can freely give and I can freely receive until I have so much. I just gotta freely give and then I freely receive, and just a cycle. It's a relationship over and over of giving and receiving. Come on, every relationship that's built on trust, every relationship that touches the matters of the heart, every relationship that leads out on your understanding, it's a two-way relationship. Come on, freely I give and freely I have received. Hallelujah. Let me tell you today, as a daughter of this house, I'm so blessed to be here today. I thank God. Man, when my grandparents passed away, we looked and they had a whole list of the church and ministries in the church, and then organizations and places that they gave to regularly. And they passed that down to my parents. My parents gave regularly. I remember them telling us about times that they gave and God came through over and over. And you know what? I sat down with my children the other day and we talked to our kids about how important giving is to us, because they don't get to see it all the time. And we begin to talk to them about, hey, we give to this, we give there, because it's generational. But there's people, man, when I came to this church, did you know none of this existed? This was all woods. I'm now sounding very old, but that's okay. Our church was over on US 1, and there was a vision and a dream to have a school here. And so the school was built first, and people gave, and they trusted God with this vision and this dream so that we could have Christian education in a school. And we didn't even have a church building when we moved here. We met in the gym for I don't even know how many years. The Freemans, y'all were there. We met for a long time in the gym. But we trusted God for this Kids Center, which was our sanctuary, and there's people that gave and they were faithful to trust in God. I remember giving to that. I've told you that story before. And I'm so thankful that I gave because now my children are in there worshiping. And now they're praising. Come on, it's generational generosity. And then it came time to give for this moment in this building. And there's people that trusted God. I mean, the economy was crashing. Things were crazy. But we believed God and we trusted. It didn't make any sense to be building a building in the economy how it was. It didn't make sense. But we trusted God and believed. And there was people that bought in and believed and trusted God. And we're here today, every one of this, us in this room, because somebody chose to trust God. Because somebody chose to live open-handedly. And I'm so thankful that they did. And I want to be that person for the next generation. Come on, I don't want to do it just for my family and my life, but I want to live open-handedly for the next generation and beyond. If that's you in this room, can you just lift up your hands all over this place? Oh, we praise you, Father God. We trust in you. Can you just take a moment as the worship team comes? And nobody moving all over this room today because God's not done. Come on, the songs that we've sung, the offering, teaching, this moment, it was all a setup because God wants to do something supernatural in this moment right now. So, Father, we trust in you. Come on, y'all just begin to sing. And as they sing, I just want you to give every burden, all your understanding, all your worries. Come on, some of you have that wrestling that's going on right now. Come on, just let the Lord take over.
I trust in God.
We worship you, God.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Sing, I trust in God, my Savior.
Today, and you've never taken the step to trust God with your life and your heart, with your salvation, with eternity, today is your opportunity. Maybe you've been living like one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Maybe you have been in the church your whole life, but you've never fully surrendered to God. Today, there's an invitation for you to just to give it all to Him. Come on, He is so faithful and He's so good. And He's just inviting you. Remember, there's nothing He withheld from us. He gave His Son so that you could have this moment of salvation. Don't let shame stop you. Don't let guilt. Don't let your past stop you. Don't let questions stop you. He's just inviting you with open arms. He paid the price for you to come to Him today. So if you're in this room right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to surrender your life to God, if you know that if He were to come back today to take you to heaven, that you would not be ready and you want to be ready, you want to get it right, I want to give you that opportunity. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand all over this room. If that's you, I want you to count to three. You're not going to raise your hand by yourself because I believe salvation is in this room. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, when I count to three, raise your hand. One, two, three, all over this room. Raise your hand if you want to give your life to the Lord. Come on, there's hands raised all over today. Come on, give God a praise. That's why we're here today. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. If you have your hand raised, or even if you don't and you want to make this decision, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front right now. If someone next to you had their hand raised, grab them by the hand, bring them down with you. Come on, let's give God a praise as they come. Come on, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, come stand here at the front today. Come on, you won't come alone. We have a team that wants to pray for you. Come on, they're coming all over the building. Can we do better than that, Calvary? Can we give God a praise as they come? Come on, if you want to surrender your heart to the Lord, just come make your way here today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, I believe that there's more all over the room. Come on, there's that wrestling. You're feeling that wrestling. Come on, just take that step. That's it, that's it. Just take that step. Come on, just let's praise God as they come right now. Come on, some of you are wrestling. Come on, let go of the hold. What he has for you is so much better. What he has for you is so much better. What he has for you is so much better. What he has for you is so much better. Thank you, Jesus. You've made the most important decision of your life today, to trust in God and put your hope in him and your life in him. And guess what? He's here to meet you right now. We're gonna say a prayer together. And after we pray, our prayer team is gonna come to you and they're gonna pray with you and they're gonna help walk you through this journey, because you don't have to walk alone, amen? Amen? I'm gonna ask you to do something right now. Remember we talked about it being a relationship? Relationships start with a conversation. So we're gonna just talk to God. Come on, you can talk to him on your own, but in this moment, we're all gonna do it together. And then someone's gonna pray with you, and I just encourage you to keep the conversation going, amen? So can you put your hand on your heart, lift up your other hand to the Lord right now? And someone from our altar team, they're gonna come stand with you and agree with you right now. Can you say, Heavenly Father?
Heavenly Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I come before you.
I come before you.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
That there's nothing.
That there's nothing.
That you.
That you.
Have withheld from me.
Have withheld from
that you even gave me.
That you even gave
your own son.
Your own son.
I believe in him.
I believe in
that
him.
That he died and rose again.
And he died and rose
that
again.
That he's in heaven.
And he's in
preparing
heaven.
Preparing a place for me. So I surrender my life to you.
I
put my trust in you. With all my heart.
With all my heart.
I lean not on my understanding.
Lord,
direct my path.
Lord, direct my path.
Lead my ways.
Lead my ways.
I put my old ways behind me.
My old ways behind
and I trust in your ways.
I trust in your
from
ways.
This day forward,
from this day forward,
I'll never be the same.
I'll never be the
in
same.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we celebrate with heaven? Can we celebrate with heaven today? Our team is going to come pray with you right now. Come on, they're going to come and pray. Can you lift up your hands all over this house today? Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that there's freedom in this place today. There's freedom from fear. There's freedom from anxiety. There's freedom from financial worry. Lord, there's financial freedom here today as people make up in their heart to be generous. Lord, I thank you, Father God. Lord, that we put our trust in you. Lord, not just in this moment, but you will direct our path. Every step that we take, Lord, help us to trust in you. Bless your people today, Father God. Lord, you see their hands lifted to you and surrender. God, you see their hearts lifted to you, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you will bear every burden. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you will be faithful to your people. I pray, Father God, that we would walk in a new freedom and a new joy, Father God. Lord, that there would be a hilarious joy, a hilarious giving, a season of generosity would be released over this house and over our lives, Father God, that we will walk in a new thing. We thank you and we praise you for it. Lord, that is not just for us, but for generations to come. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give God a shout of praise today? Oh, come on, give him a shout. He's so good. Listen, don't forget discipleship classes this Wednesday night. If you haven't come, come. If you missed a week or two, come on back. If you're a first-time guest, stop by and see us at Guest Central. If you signed up for the New People Party today, If you sign up for New People Party, you're going to make your way out these doors to my right, and we'll meet you right there. God bless you, Calvary. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.